This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Now, along with the treatment of animals, the environment is a chief reason why some of us become vegetarian, about 3% of Americans at this point. And the environmental statistics are pretty damning. There's the consumption of food crops by animals, the drain on water supplies, the overuse of antibiotics, pollution, and the list goes on. In the food business, there's competition to create vegetarian substitutes that taste a little bit better than, well, you know, seitan and all that stuff, and that could maybe one day become viable alternatives to meat. Shauna Lyon, who edits the New Yorker's food and drink page, has been exploring the options.
I used to be a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian for 15 years. At that time, I ate a lot of veggie burgers. They were the kind that were out of a box. They were frozen. They were dry and sad and gray. And, you know, you could dress them up, but they never tasted good. So I'm not a vegetarian anymore, and I do eat burgers. But then I heard about a new kind of veggie burger called the Impossible Burger, which is a veggie burger that looks a lot like a meat burger. And they said tastes a lot like a meat burger. It also bleeds like a meat burger. And I was really curious. I really wanted to try it. So we went to an Umami Burger, which is a burger chain.
Pretty good. I'm Melvin. I've been taking care of you guys today.
Thank you. Hey, Melvin.
They are known for having beef burgers that are hyper-powered with some kind of umami, which is like a savory flavor. And so it was interesting that they were carrying the Impossible Burger. That was a seal of approval. Like, this really tastes like meat.
You're in for a treat. Have you had them?
I haven't yet.
Oh, yeah. I've had many.
You have? Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I brought along this expert on plant-based meat. Bruce Friedrich founded and runs the Good Food Institute.
Veggie burgers were pretty bad up until maybe
so
15 years ago. And
Boca's good.
And yeah.
Morningstar.
All of them are getting better and
imitation
better. I mean,
products.
They're all
up their game. Little, yeah.
And it's a very exciting thing to see. People in plant-based say, like, why limit yourself to animal cells? With plant-based meat, we can replicate what people like, and we can do even better.
When you say you can do even better, you mean you can make it taste better?
Yeah, and animal-based burgers are not going to get better, but plant-based burgers will.
So maybe the Impossible Burger won't make you swear off meat forever, but maybe it'll make you eat a little less meat, and Bruce thinks that would be great.
One of the sort of obvious but underappreciated facts is that if one person goes vegetarian, that is the same as two people cutting back by half. But it's probably going to be a lot easier to get two people to cut back by half than to get one person to go completely vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Hey. I have two Impossible Burgers for you guys.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, guys. Enjoy.
So we got our Impossible Burger. It's pretty big. Two patties smothered in cheese. They look a lot like meat. The Impossible Burger looks like, it doesn't look like those fat, juicy burgers. It looks like a couple of smashed patties, like very thin, but also charred on the edges, which, you know, that makes a good burger too. And you know, there's a flag stuck right in the middle that says Impossible Burger. The Impossible Burger is not really that different from a lot of other veggie burgers. It's made of wheat protein and coconut oil and potato protein. But the thing that makes it different from other veggie burgers is heme. It's an iron-containing compound found in blood, which is what gives meat that iron flavor. And Impossible Burger found a way to take heme from plants and make more of it using fermentation. Heme is one of the things that makes beef burgers really satisfying.
Why do you think it's so hard for people to imagine giving up meat?
I've spent like 30 years pondering that question. I adopted a vegan diet in 1987, and the arguments were just so clear to me, and I thought they would be clear to everybody else. And I thought, nobody loves meat more than I do. Nobody eats more meat than I do. If I can do this, anybody can do this. And I've certainly convinced a fair number of people to cut back or cut out, but the vast majority of people, they're just too busy leading their lives. The cacophony of life makes it really hard to make, you know, to, like, you've been doing something for 20 or 50 or 70 years, and it's just like what you do, and suddenly somebody's saying, no, you should do something different. That's a pretty big ask.
I wonder if the Impossible Burger does taste like a real burger.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you think.
Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it has the same consistency and texture as a regular burger. The flavor is a little bit bland, missing a little bit of the that deep, like, iron flavor that you get, like the...
That's the heme, actually.
It needs some more heme.
I don't know.
I totally feel like I'm eating a burger. And I think I can enjoy it more than a beef burger. Definitely more than a turkey burger. Turkey burgers are terrible.
Aw. Thank you. I mean, so a historical flashback. The year is 1898.
Okay.
There are 175,000 horses out here on the streets of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
They are laying down 50,000 tons of manure every single month.
Ooh.
There are horse carcasses everywhere. And the world's first urban planning conference was convened here in New York City. And it was supposed to last a couple weeks. And after a couple of days, they decided there just is no solution. Everybody just went home. And 10 years later, 1908, Henry Ford introduces the Model T. And by 1912, there are more cars than horses on the streets of New York City. I'm absolutely convinced that that's what plant-based meat and clean meat represent, because industrial animal agriculture, I mean, it is going to bring on climate catastrophe. It could be the end of working antibiotics. Like, these are really big problems, and plant-based meat and clean meat can replicate animal-based meat, completely displace it, because it's a better product.
But I think I'm not so sure about Bruce's analogy. Cars did not save the environment. In fact, they caused a lot of other problems. I'm also not sure eating plant-based meat will fix all the problems that Bruce was talking about. But if eating veggie burgers that taste like meat can help, and they're delicious, why not?
Shauna Lyon edits Goings On About Town in The New Yorker in our food and drink page.